All right. Like I said, my name's Catherine, and Shannon and I run Young Adults here. So I've got a couple of things that I just wanted to talk about this morning. Oh, this afternoon. This evening. Whatever time it is. Okay? So recently, God has been talking to me about what does it actually mean to be a disciple. I shared a little bit of this with the Young Adults a few weeks ago, but the thing that really stood out to me was when I looked up the definition for what a disciple was. And it said, to be a disciple was to be a follower or a pupil or a student. And obviously, as Christians, we are trying to be followers or students of Jesus. So the one thing that kind of, like I said, stood out to me is that if you're following someone, if I'm following someone along the stage, I'm following them until I stop following. They might keep walking if I decide to stand here and stare at my shoes. They've still kept walking, but I'm no longer following them. In the same way, we can be following God, and then we can stop, stare at our shoes, and keep going. The same thing is also true if we're talking about whether we're a student or whether we're a pupil of Jesus. We can be listening, we can be taking notes, we can be, you know, listening to everything he's talking to us. But if we then decide to put in our headphones and stop listening, we've stopped being a teacher, or we've stopped being a pupil, and then if we've stopped being a pupil, we've stopped listening, we've stopped following, then can we really say that we're still being a disciple of God? It doesn't matter what we did up until this point. It doesn't matter how long we followed for. It doesn't matter how long we've been a disciple for. If we're not following any further, we're not currently being a disciple. We're not currently learning. We're not currently being a follower. Okay, so that in mind, I decided to look, what does a disciple look like? So it says in John 1, verses 3 and 6, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, he's a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Okay, so not only do we have to be following Jesus, but if we are listening to his teachings, if we are following him, we have to do what Jesus did. We have to put into practice what he says and what he did. So what did Jesus do? It says, and what does Jesus tell us to do? It says in the Bible, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. So when you pray, okay? So if we're not praying, are we living in obedience to God? And are we actually being disciples or being taught by him by putting into practice the thing he tells us to do? Okay, then it also says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, then your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. Obviously, we're coming into a time of prayer and fasting. So the Bible says, when you pray, as in that's an expectation, as in that's part of Christianity, as in if we're trying to live like God, we're trying to replicate what Jesus did, and Jesus fasted. Okay, so I challenge you, if any of you are sitting out there like, nah, I think I'll give prayer and fasting a miss. The Bible is pretty clear, we are to fast. So I would really challenge you to think about, okay, what does that mean? Am I learning from God? Am I following him? Or have I decided to stick my shoes in the sand and just look at the floor? Okay. It also says in Matthew 4, verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus clearly, from this statement, read the scriptures. He knew them well enough to recite them to say, this is what the Bible says. So if Jesus read the scriptures, we read the scriptures if we're going to be disciples of God. Okay, so Jesus prayed, Jesus fasted, and Jesus read the Bible. So if we're going to be disciples, we need to read the Bible, pray, and fast. Okay. So, yeah, like I said, the question becomes, if we're not doing any of these things, are we really following God, and are we truly, at this current point in time, living as his disciples? Okay. So, the Bible also says in Galatians 5, verse 22, but the Spirit, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So the one that we all like to miss in this list is the last one, self-control, okay? So obviously, like, it's in there for a reason. And there's another verse, which I quite like, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has given us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of self-control, okay? So self-control is actually a theme of the Bible, okay? And this verse, especially the one that's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, would imply, because as we come, or as we get to know God more, we are more loving, we're more full of peace, we're kinder, but also we should be more full of self-control, okay, because it's a gift of the Spirit. So why am I talking about this? So, like I said, God's recently been talking to me about what it means to be a disciple, okay? Yeah, so, but often we think about all these spiritual disciplines that I've just been talking about, prayer, fasting, reading your Bible is a lot more holy and a lot more we have to be Spirit-led to do them than the reality, which is you just need to do them because God has gifted you with self-control. God has gifted you with self-discipline. So if you want to be a follower of God, the expectation is that you do these things, and God has given you self-control and enables you to be self-disciplined. But especially if you call on him and say, God, this is really hard, because it is hard. It is hard to read your Bible. It's hard to spend time in prayer. It's hard to spend time, you know, it's hard to fast. It's definitely hard to fast. But God has said that he will give us his spirit, which is a spirit of self-control, a spirit of self-discipline that will enable us to do these things. Okay? The other thing that it talks about when it talks about discipleship in the Bible or being a disciple, there's often a parallel between discipleship and being a warrior or being a soldier for God. So I just thought I would read in Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish, my goodness, all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay, so now I want you to think of an army. Think of a good army that is marching forward, straight, you know, onto it. Okay, they're a good army. Everyone that sees them go past you like, that is a good army. They've got it all together, right? Okay, now imagine another army that maybe that hasn't got their clothes on properly, like the uniform's a bit skew off. Half of them are missing their shields, and about three of them clearly do not know how to use their swords. Okay, so like, if we read back through the armor of God, when it says stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth, okay, how do we have the belt of truth if we're not renewing our mind with reading the truth? How do we put on the breastplate of righteousness, and how do we do that? How do we know what righteousness looks like? How do we live a righteous life if we don't read our Bible, if we don't pray? Where is the next one? How do we have shoes that are ready I'm really getting on my words. How do we have our shoes put on our feet, having the readiness given by the gospel of peace? How can we be living like a life full of, how can we be ready to share the gospel with other people? How can we have a heart for the lost? If we don't read the Bible, we don't pray, we don't pray for a heart for them, how can we have that? And in all circumstances, have a shield of faith. And how do we grow in faith if we don't stretch our faith, if we don't stand on the promises of what God has said? how can we extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one? How can we use the sword of the Spirit if we don't even know what the Bible says? It's very clear that the sword of the Spirit is the word. And how do we use it on the day when the opposition comes against us, but we don't really read it, so we don't know how to stand on it and fight back? How do we do any of this? How do we live out a life as the warriors or the soldiers that God calls us to be if we don't spend time reading our Bible, if we don't pray, and if we don't fast? We kind of just stand still and look at our shoes, and Jesus is like, come on, come on, okay? So, along those lines, every army requires discipline to make them achieve the uniformity or whatever kind of goal they're trying to achieve. And for us, in this kind of battle that we're in, is reading the Bible, etc., like I said. So, but like I said, it comes down to actually deciding that you're going to do these disciplines because it's worth it. So self-discipline, I looked it up, is the ability to control one's feelings and overcome one's weaknesses. Okay? Like I said, fortunately, we don't have to do this on our own, but I think we live in a society that's very feelings-based, and we're like, oh, I don't feel like it today. Oh, I don't feel like this. But the Bible's pretty clear that self-control, like I said, is one of the gifts of the Spirit. Of course, self-discipline or self-control is not limited to just the things, like just spending time with God and having discipline about that. It's also in other areas of our lives. And the Bible's pretty clear. It talks about eating. It talks about alcohol. It talks about having self-control over our words and over the things we say. But like in a world that is more about how you feel or whatever, sometimes having the black and white verses in front of you can be, you know, a bit overwhelming. So one of my favorite verses is, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. This is literally the polar opposite of what the world tells us to do, okay? So because it's all about whether we're doing stuff to please ourselves, how it feels for you, whether it's like what's good for you, you know, rather this says not about what's good for you, it's about what brings glory to God, okay? But like I said, it's not just self-discipline or self-control. Doesn't just come down to spending time with God, it also comes into other areas of our lives. And sometimes the most practical things are things that actually affect our spiritual life. So things that are very much in the natural. Like I know over the years, God has challenged me about what I eat. He's challenged me about how much I exercise. He's challenged me about how much sleep I get. He's challenged me about my organization or lack thereof. And I think, and the reason why God would challenge us about those things is because of the spiritual implications of those things. So like, it's all very well to say, yeah, I'm very disciplined with my spiritual life, but not being disciplined in other areas of your life will affect your spiritual life. Okay? So this is an example which I, you know, am reluctant to share. But for example, I have learned about myself, if I have if my room is really messy, then I don't want to spend time in there because it's messy, and then I don't want to spend time praying because that's where I pray. And it's just like it's an ongoing kind of shift. Similar sort of thing, if you're really tired, then you don't want to be nice at work, you don't want to be loving, you don't want to read your Bible because you're tired. Like, it's a flow on effect. So if we don't get disciplined in some of these natural things, then that's also going to affect our spiritual life too. Okay, so pretty much in summary, I have... The first thing is, if you're not currently spending time reading your Bible, praying, etc., you really have to examine yourself. Like, are you currently following God? Or did you used to follow God and you're now just kind of chilling out while Jesus walks along over here? Or, yeah, so that's the first thing you have to examine. The second thing is, like, are there areas in your life, like natural things, like I was talking about, that because you haven't got self-control over them, which God will give you if you ask him and will help you. Like, it's not going to be like necessarily an overnight thing, but he'll walk on the journey with you, that are stopping you achieve what God wants you to achieve or walk into in your spiritual life. Okay, like I talked about with my room. And the last one, if you're struggling with self-discipline with your time with God, but you've got self-discipline in other areas of your life, I really would challenge you to just evaluate whether those things have become idols in your life. Because, like, if you can have self-discipline for all these other things, but you can't have self-discipline for God, and that's supposed to be Lord of your life, the absolute everything, like, think about what you are prioritizing and where that falls. Okay? So I'm just going to pray, and then I'm going to hand over to Shannon. Lord God, I just thank you that you are here. And God, I thank you that, God, you want us to be close to you. You don't talk about discipline and all of this stuff to hurt us. You know it's good for us. Spending time with you is good for us. Spending time in prayer, your word, fasting, all of these things are good for us and things that draw us closer to you. So, Lord, I just pray that you help us to surrender the things that are holding us back from you, whether it's our attitude around coming to these disciplines, whether it's our attitude around other things in the natural. And Lord, I just pray, God, open our hearts, make us teachable, make us pupils and followers of you, Lord, in the true essence of that. And God, I just thank you in advance for what you're going to do during this time of prayer and fasting. Amen. So, Shannon.
Awesome. Can we give another round of applause to Catherine? That was amazing. Fantastic. Oh, it's quite loud. So tonight I'm really just wanting to talk about something that's just been on my heart for a while. So why don't we just get straight into it? I'll just pray and then we get into it. So Father God, I just pray over just the message tonight. I just pray that your words will be on my tongue, that it will be your will, Father God, for what you are wanting to say to everyone tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So let's turn to Matthew 26, 36 to 46. Lots of sixes. And it reads, "Then he went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little further, he fell to his face. He fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as your will.' Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Couldn't you men keep watch with me just for 1 hour?' he asked Peter. 'Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away a second time and prayed, 'My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done.' When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.' Now tonight, the title of my message is 'Are You Sleeping?' I want to look at the story and how we can be sleeping when we should be awake with praying in our battles. I will look at our will versus the will of the Father, the lack of revelation for the power of prayer, and the priorities that are in our lives. Now, in this verse, Jesus and three of his friends, Peter, who was Simon, James, and John, went into the garden. They went with him, and Jesus, who was about to be betrayed by Judas, asked his friends to stay up with him while he prayed alone. He went away and he came back to find his three friends sleeping. Not just once, not just twice, but three times. He went into a spirit of prayer. He knew the battle that he was going to face. He knew that he couldn't do it alone. So he went and he prayed. He said, "Couldn't you men keep watch for me for just 1 hour?" See, Jesus called them to pray through the battles that he was facing. He was filled with sorrow to the point of death, but his friends too were facing a battle. They were facing the battle of sleep instead of being there with him and praying. See, the battle that they that Jesus and the three disciples faced was the battle between flesh and the spirit. Yet these three men had no strength to draw on because their strength was not on the will of the Father's, but Jesus' will was of the Father. Throughout our lives, we can ask the same questions over and over again. Why am I not coming closer to God? Why can't I, you know, I watch other people, you know, just really inspired by God, but I just can't hear him. See, we all go through the same things. They look different, but we all go through battles. If we know that if we know the truth in prayer, why don't we pray more? What are some of the things that seem to stop us from winning in the battles and make us become spiritually asleep? The first thing is our own will versus the will of the Father. The biggest battle that we face is the temptation of our flesh and the desires and our will. We become distracted and distant from God. We can spend so much time doing stuff, but when the hour is so close, we are gambling our lives. We can live in that safe zone of, I'm already saved, I know where I'm going, or what I don't know can't hurt me. But we are fighting a raging war, and we have been faced with so many battles. And every day we are faced with our soul and body fighting against our spirit. And the more and more time that we spend with God, it becomes easier because we put our spirit above our body and our soul. Because the spirit needs to be the one in control of our lives. See, I remember a time back when I was little, when I went over to my grandma's house, and I just saw her bring in this most amazing big bag of mandarins. Now, at this point, you're probably thinking, Shannon, where are you going with this? But just hear me out. So these mandarins were not like any mandarins. These mandarins were just the most amazing sunset orange. You could just squeeze them and the skin would just rip. It was so soft and it was so juicy. And you just wanted these mandarins. Well, I wanted these mandarins so, so much. But I was told no. Now, growing up, I was not very good at, when I was being told no, I wasn't very good at listening. But this time I thought, nah, I'll be able to get this in my lunch tomorrow. This is exciting. And dinner started, and I stared at them. All I could think about were these mandarins. Supper came, and that's all I could think about. I was like, man, maybe I could just have it for supper. You know, Grandma, I'd love it. It'd be great. But she still said, no, just wait for tomorrow. And I thought, oh, I really, really want these, but it's okay. It's all right. I held out till bedtime. So I got into bed and I went to bed and I was like, great, I've successfully conquered this temptation. Now, by now you're thinking, oh my goodness, it is just a silly piece of fruit. And what's the big deal? But if you ever get into a room with Janita and I and have a bowl of fruit there, you would understand how much we love fruit. See, but the story does not end there. See, I woke up, as most kids do, in the middle of the night, and I needed to go to the toilet. But to get to the toilet, I had to walk past the kitchen. Now, the kitchen had that big bowl of fruit there, and those mandarins were just screaming. So I walked to the toilet, and I was like, yep, sweet, fine, this is awesome. I got there. But as I was sitting there, I was like, man, what if I just take one? It won't make a difference. No one will notice. It'll be fine. And by the end of the night, 5 mandarins had been consumed. I have no idea what happened. And for what I thought would be a good idea to hide them would be to just stuff the skins just down beside my bed. Little did I know that my grandma changes the bed sheets every single morning, and I got in so much trouble. See, Jesus went into the garden to pray, and he said, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as your will." Jesus asked God to take away being crucified on the cross, but he understood the immense importance of actually giving his life for us. See, my battle was just against a bowl of mandarins, but his battle was so much more, and it could completely change the outcome of the war that we are fighting. See, first, our will must be surrendered with God's surrendered to God's will. And another thing is that we cannot stop the battles that we face. So we need to make sure that we are standing in the assurance of how we can do this. And so the second thing, it comes to a lack of revelation of the power of prayer can sometimes stop us from actually winning the battles. See, I could come and tell you to read your Bibles more, to pray more, to inspire you, but unless you have got a revelation in your heart for yourself, nothing is going to change. See, when you give your heart to God, it's not done out of obligation, but it's done with a knowledge and a belief that being set, we have been saved by grace. See, I know that I've listened to so many messages over and over and over again. They give the same message. You know, I know, and I feel like I'm becoming a teenager, being like, I know, Mom, stop telling me, you know. And you just get into this thought of, oh, I know, I've heard it before, and you just go through those emotions. But it's kind of like fitness. You know, people are like, oh, yeah, I want to lose weight or I want to gain weight. You know, this, you know, I really want to do that. But everyone knows that you need to be able to stick to a self-disciplined, a disciplined plan. But nothing is going to happen unless you are willing to action that plan. And it is the same with our relationship with God. We need to make sure that our foundation, just like Jesus, was focused on the Father. Despite his own desires, he had a revelation of the Father's love. And he knew the sacrifice that he had to make for you. Jesus prayed until he knew that the battle had been won. He didn't just stop once after the first time. He didn't just stop after the second time. He knew that he needed to pray. His friends lacked a revelation from God about prayer. He relentlessly prayed, but his spirit was not sleeping. His spirit was awake. He put the will of the Father's above his own. Have a think, in your prayer life, are you still sleeping? See, God challenged me about the way that challenged me in this battle that I'm facing at the moment. He's like, how much do you want it? And I was like, I want it a lot. And he's like, then how much would you pray for it? And so we first need to surrender our will to God's will. The second thing, we need to understand and have a revelation of the power of prayer. And thirdly, we need to prioritize God in our lives. Our lives are filled with busyness, and we've been pulled in so many different directions with the focus of work and media, movies, our self-image, our own thoughts, other people's thoughts. And sometimes we can get to the end of the week and think, man, I haven't even prayed or read my Bible, but it's okay. I will start Monday. Monday is the first day, so I'll start it because I'm just too busy. See, there's a story on TED Talk about this woman who did some tests with a whole bunch of people who are high up in CEO companies, and they were supposed to log their week and what they were doing. And she noticed that there was this one woman who had so much in her calendar that at the beginning of the week, if you asked her, you know, if she could do anything, she'd be like, nah, I could not fit anything else in. But one week it was documented that her heater, a water heater broke, and the room was flooded, and she had to, throughout the week, get in the plumber and get in carpet cleaners, and she spent a total of seven hours to make sure that the situation was being cleaned up. Now, these 7 hours at the beginning of the week, this lady would have definitely said, can't you see how busy I am? But Jesus knew his priorities. He knew that he needed to spend time with God, and especially through this battle, he needed to spend more time with God. But he also knew he couldn't do it alone, so he asked his friends to support and pray with him. So easily, we can be so tired and go through a battle and isolate ourselves and look at other people and just like, oh, I just don't have time for them. But we need our friends the most around us when we're going through hard times. And if Jesus needed friends, we do too need to have friends supporting and praying with us. See, halfway through last year, everything changed for me. I realized that I needed God more than ever. I was at the point of like nearly burning out. I was tired. I was just wanting to give up. But I had people around me who supported me. And they showed me how important I needed God in my life and that situation. Every morning I decided I would get up, that I would pray, that I would worship, that I would read the word. And in that first hour of the day, I became closer and closer to God. Miracles started happening and battles started to be won. Things like intimidation, insecurities, fear, loneliness, what people were saying about me, what I thought people cared, you know, what I thought people were saying about me, just started to disappear. It didn't matter because my focus became God. He became my rock, and through the power of prayer, my attention was on Him, not on myself or not on others. We have times in our lives when our flesh overpowers our spirit, and I have the same thing. It's not perfect every day, but I have to be willing to stand up and make sure that I am taking a step closer to God every day. It says in Romans 13, 11 and 14, it says, "And do this, understand the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." We will always face the battle of self versus God. But God never leaves us alone in any of those situations. He is wanting, He is asking and calling for your attention. He's calling out. He loves us so much that He is constantly speaking with every single one of you. We just need to have the ears to open. We just need our ears to be open to hear Him. Sometimes God gives us battles, and big battles that we think we can't face, because it actually humbles us and actually makes us rely on Him. God needs to be a priority in our lives. Is the driving force of your life, is that you? Or have you surrendered your life to God? Do you have a revelation of the importance of prayer and actively spending time in your daily prayer life with Him? What are your priorities? And are you putting God first? Or are we willing to sacrifice time in our day for Him? Are you still sleeping? Or are you awake in the Spirit? The hour is near. Wake up. It is so crucial for us to understand and actually gain the immense importance of the power of prayer and the importance of having God at the center of our lives. Yes, having God at the center makes things easier because we have Him to fight our battles for us. But sometimes we try to do it all by ourselves and do it alone and just think of God as a second thought.